What's so great about? What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About the Podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Very well. Excuse me, very well, Terry, and you?
I too am well.
Great to hear it.
Ah, there it is. You might notice I have a bit of a sing-song in my voice, a spring in my step, if you will. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it's the start of a new podcast mini-series. Look at that timing, huh? Coke Zero, of course. How predictable.
Kind of takes the edge off.
Unflavored for me. We're talking What's So Great About Wes Anderson.
Yes. So, and folks, let me tell you, my initial reaction was sour to it, because now, to be fair, we had just watched I'm Thinking of Ending Things and I was so annoyed, and then Terry was hitting me with, and now we're gonna watch 10 other movies of someone that you didn't previously care for, and I was like, this has to stop. But now I'm actually very excited about it. I'm excited to watch them. I've come around. To be fair, he's won me over on Marvel, he's won me over on Ryan Gosling. I can't argue with the evidence.
Yes. It's exciting, though, isn't it exciting?
Yes, you know, I'm excited.
It's a new thing to dig into.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's this is the show. This is what the show is, Andy. I think it's the best. It's the when we're
you dragging
best.
Me kicking and screaming through some you sort of auteur's work.
Just a topic, you know, any yeah. kind of topic. You know, it can be an actor, a director, a genre. You know, a franchise.
Okay,
it's endless.
Well, like I said, the pod has changed me, Terry, so I'm open to it now.
How have you been? Have you been up to much?
I've been well. No, I haven't been up to a huge amount. Did a lot of gardening today, Terry. Ooh. And let me tell you, I hadn't done a thing in months, and it was nice.
It was a nice sense
of accomplishment. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Is this the first cut of the year?
Yes, it was, and badly needed. But it involved like picking up all the dog shite and all this sort of stuff.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
I don't really have an idea of where your road is situated. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get rubbish in your garden?
Yes.
Okay, from other people, like.
Yes.
Okay, grand. So it's not just me. It's not just me and civilization is falling to pieces. I live on the fucking main road here, and like, you'll just see like bottles of beer in the hedge or what, you know, it's just
for
stuff.
For God's sake.
And it was worse with the storm. You'd just be coming home, it's like, oh, there's a new pile of rubbish that I have to pick up now.
Damn teenagers, that's what it is. And the teenagers.
And I'd say just any ignorant prick.
Yes, essentially. There's a field right behind where I live and where I take the dog for a walk. There's always teenagers like hanging out there, which is fine, like, you know,
starting fires, like you said.
But starting fires. And get this, I got out of my car because where I park, like, it's just like across the road from this field, and they always congregate in this little bush or something like that. And a fire started, and I was just passing. I was like, "Put out that fire, lads!" And they all ran and put it out. I was like, "You mugs! I wouldn't have done anything. I can't believe that worked." they're always smashing their bottles everywhere. And my dog cut his paw on.
He stood on Graham.
Yeah, he stood on glass. So and he's hobbling, the whole thing is just up, you know, he's just walking on three legs. So we took him to the vet and he's bandaged up and all that. But like, motherfuckers, and there's fresh glass there every time. Like I mean, even when we were teenagers, like, you'd have a drink, you might leave the bottle if you're a prick, but smashing it every time,
it's down an alleyway or something. It's not where somebody's on grass. Be walking. Yeah, like, you know,
like, it's so, and like, it's purely, it's just purely to impress. It's pure fucking insecurity at the end of the day. You know, like that sort of, they're just impressing their mates, impressing the girls. I'll do something crazy.
Bunch of frightened little boys, Andy. Sure. We're still those little boys, huh?
Yeah, just with a bit more class, I think you'll agree.
And facial hair.
But, oh, let me tell you this. I haven't been watching much, but let me tell you one thing I've been listening to, Terry. Mm? It's from Screen Actors Guild winning Best Actor Will Smith's autobiography, Will.
I wanted to
narrated,
bring this up.
Narrated by the man himself.
I don't care about the book. I'm sure it's garbage. I'm sure it's pure propaganda. Willaganda, like.
Let me tell you. To sum it up, it's at the start, I was like, okay, I'm into this. It's too
fake.
No, but like, he's going too deep into, I guess I thought at that time, and all this, like, he's getting too introspective on it, you know what I mean? And it's just all like, it's just a little bit too much. Some of the stories are good, but when he gets too sort of, he's always trying to be motivational and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, to an extent, I do
feel
like that.
Sick. Now that he's won the SAG Award, which was a big surprise. I think he's going to win the Oscar. Like, this is how they're talking about it, because generally the people that, like, the Screen Actors Guild will all be voting in the Oscars. So that's a huge amount of people that, like, I can't imagine their vote would be different. But, like, people are talking about it, it's like, so he's going to be Best Actor. And a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, like, I listened to a couple of different podcasts that taught me this. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with it. And I'm like, one of the guys who was like, I could very much identify with it. He's like, yeah, I guess I just made the mistake of liking the better performances that are out there more and thinking they would win. And everybody's just like, yeah, well, you know, Will Smith. I mean, he was hardly going to go his whole life without winning an Oscar. And I'm like, for this?
Maybe they're just giving him the SAG one so they can give it to Denzel or whoever else.
Or Cumberbatch. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's our, you know. No, Andy. No.
Come on, Terry.
Have you seen any of the clips of it?
Yeah.
And what do you think it looks good, you think?
It looked right up my alley.
It looks so schmaltzy. Like, so. I was flabbergasted that he snuck in. Because everybody's like, yeah, he's fine. He's fine in it. And now it's like, he's going to win the whole thing. This is why the Oscars have broken me. You know?
You were already thinking, how is he even in this movie? Let alone winning Oscars.
How is he even in this movie? But how is he even in the top five? You know what I mean? Like,
because he's Big Will. He's got that if factor, Terry. I'm telling you, the sooner you just get on board and get jiggy with it, Terry.
I got jiggy with it.
You have to keep getting jiggy consistently and thoroughly.
Not now, and he's not even getting jiggy with it. Big Will in sad old fucker
in a serious role. You know what I mean? Will.
Oh, but like. Richard Williams, like the way he plays him. I haven't seen the whole thing.
You haven't seen it. You haven't seen it.
You know what? I haven't seen the whole thing. So I can't definitively say I wouldn't. Like, it could be a year from now I stick it on. I was like, you know what? He's really good in it. From what I've seen of it, the few scenes that they show, you know, the FYC, for your consideration scenes, I'm like, this is just so hammy. It's not doing anything. Whereas, like, look at Cumberbatch. I've seen out of the other. Oh, he's so good. He's so good in Power.
He knows it though. Big Will needs this. Cumberbatch has got loads of opportunities. This is Big Will's last dance.
Yeah, he's desperate, and it's and it shows. It fucking shows.
Let me ask you this: is it still screener season?
You can get it. You can get it. I'm sure.
We should totally review that for a Patreon.
Maybe, okay.
You know, because we brought it up about four or five times.
I think it's probably, like, it's not in cinemas anymore, like, so it's probably on VOD, so it'll be fairly easy.
All right.
Easy to get. Obtain. Yeah, I mean, I'm always down to watch a movie.
That's true.
So, you know.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that off mic.
Yeah. Anything else? No, I've nothing.
I've been watching more Succession. It's been okay again.
Where are you? What are you?
Season 2, episode 3 I'm on.
Oh, you're barely getting started. Like,
okay, good. Okay, great.
Hell yeah. Like, okay. By the end of season 2, you'll be like, woof.
Head be spinning.
All the other shit that starts happening. Like, Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Who, like, has... have they done the retreat? Have they done the...
In Hungary?
Was it the boar on the floor? Has that happened yet?
No.
Oh, Andy.
They've just gone to Hungary to do some sort of...
bonding
hunting
team?
Bonding or
oh,
something.
Oh, did you watch that whole episode?
No, I'm only about 20 minutes into it.
Oh, Andy, okay, so I'm actually the boar on the floor.
I don't know what
is that
means.
Episode. Yeah,
okay.
You will know when you see it, and fucking hell.
Okay, great. That's what I'm after.
Here, I tell you something, I did it. I pulled the trigger, Andy.
What'd you do?
I watched Reacher. I know if you've seen those Reacher. Ads around.
I have not.
Oh, have you not?
Reacher?
Yeah, on Amazon Prime. I don't remember if you remember the Tom Cruise starring movie Jack Reacher.
Of course.
Well, this is the same character, only they hired somebody who is...
taller.
Who is, like, I think your man, it's like Alan Richson, his name is.
Whoa, who's this slab?
Slab of beef, yeah. this hunk.
Who's this Dirk Squarejaw?
He's Reacher.
Okay.
I did it. It's, you know, it's a like I've read like 20 of the books, you know, they're a proper dad crime book.
So you're already a big fan.
I haven't read one in years because I realized.
But you're familiar with the world.
Oh yeah. I'm familiar with the world of Reacher, and it, like in this, like I was watching it because like Faye was watching, I don't know if it was Married at First Sight, something on the All Four player.
Kerry loves that as well.
Yeah. I'm like, it's the Australian version.
Me. Yes.
I'm like, what's wrong with these people? Like, who hurt them? And same with The Bachelor. Like, what happened
to
you?
I would just get so annoyed. I don't understand. I'm always like, I have my shy. I'd watch like football highlights and she wouldn't understand the, you know, what I get out of it. But I'm just
football
like,
highlights is authentic. Like, this stuff is,
it doesn't
like,
make me angry unless I guess it's scoring against Liverpool or something. But it's, you know, I don't get it. I don't get why this is
anyway, when we were watching it, they kept playing the ad for Reacher.
Yeah.
And I was just like, one night, like, Faye was, like, going to bed at, like, 8:30, 9:15. And she's like, what are you going to do? I was like, oh, I have to do a few bits. I think it might have been Monday, actually, before we did a record.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to do a few bits for the podcast. And I was like, I'm just going to stick it on. Like, I ended up watching, like, 3 episodes.
Right.
It's proper, you know, it's like comfort food. Like, you know, it is, like...
Is this your ballers?
Yeah, probably. But like, also, like, I don't think it's as pretentious as Ballers.
Right, you know
what
okay.
I mean? Like, 'cause I watched a few episodes of Ballers, so I was like, oh, what is this? This leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Whereas Reacher, it's like...
I couldn't get enough.
Not even that. It was just like, there's loads of fighting in it, which is great. Like, because sometimes when they do these adaptations, they like try and like space it out.
Yeah.
But like in this one, there's literally one time per episode, like somebody will like have a gun on him or like approach him with a weapon. And he was like, okay, so here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? There's like 6 of us and one of you. And then he'll like tell them what he's going to do and then do it. Now he might take a few licks himself, but by the end, everybody's dead. Like he's like, he shows up at his hotel room and he's like, these guys standing outside a truck, these young guys. He's like, judging by the bottles of beer you've had here, you've been here waiting for me. So somebody put you up to this or whatever. And they're like, shut up, man. You know, we're going to take you down. He's like, here's what's going to happen. He's like, I'm just going to break. You're not going to do anything to me. And I'm going to end up breaking 3 kids' hands. He's like, there are 4 of us. He's like, well, one of you needs to drive to the hospital. And then that happens where he literally like snaps their hands. And then there's one little twerp like, I know how to drive. And like, oh, Reacher.
That team's right up your alley.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's like,
I do like anything where they're telling them what they're going to do and then they do it.
Yeah.
He told you what he's going to do, man.
Yeah. And the fucking size of him as well. Like, if somebody said to me, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break your kneecap. And looking at this guy, I'm like, yeah, okay, I believe it. Yeah,
100%, you're able to do that.
Yeah, it's like, where
how big is he? How tall is this? Is this hunk?
This guy Richson, I think, is 6'6", but I think the character Reacher is like 6'9".
Wow!
So they couldn't even get anybody. Like, he looks like a pro wrestler the way he moves and stuff in it.
Yeah, you know like, just looks different kind of body.
And the other thing as well was that like when I kept seeing the ad, it was like, "Can you hear me knocking by the Stones?" Like,
yeah.
And I was like, "Well, you know, like I keep hearing that." I'm like, They use the right thing.
I tell you, is there any band better than the Stones at getting you into, like, putting that on an ad,
yeah,
and like getting ooh. You into it, like, straight away? You put on Gimme Shelter, Rolling or Stones, you put on, like, anything. Like, yeah,
ooh,
like,
oh well, on Stones.
You just be like, oh well, oh well, I'm definitely.
But as evidenced by Wes Anderson as well, you notice that, like, they have enough kind of deep cut tracks that are also very good that you're like, I've like he can afford to put them in his movies as opposed to the big hitters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but
okay,
like,
well, reach out. It's a
not for you. It's for the other guys listening. It's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It's real, like, they're 42-minute episodes, and it's just kind of like, shut your mind off. It is easy. Like, it's like a warm bath, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I'm down with that. Absolutely.
It's
I love a bit.
I think it's like
8
episodes for the first season. It's been renewed. Apparently, it's like one of their highest rated shows. It's like my other show that I watch on Amazon based on the books that I read. Bosch. Another dad book. It's like Amazon are like, these books are really good sellers on our website. Maybe we should start making TV out of them. Like,
I guess, well, we have a television company now.
Exactly. Like, synergy.
Put them over there. Give it to that medium.
I've also been watching one other thing.
Yes.
I'm watching The Dropout. Have you heard about this?
I have not, of course.
It's on Disney Plus. Ooh. It's about Elizabeth Holmes. Have you heard about Elizabeth Holmes? You know who she is?
I have not, no.
So she was a tech entrepreneur. I use that term loosely. There's a good documentary about her called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley. And her whole thing was she came up with this pinprick system to take your blood and test it.
Right.
So it was like, I would just like...
The one where they're like, deep.
Yeah.
And
and then they'd be able to test your blood and tell you if you had sepsis or whatever like that. Like,
right.
But in reality, she got like fucking hundreds of millions of funding for these things. But none of it worked.
All right.
Ever. Like, the documentary is very good. Like, it kind of gives you an insight into this, like, woman and like how she became pretty much a pathological liar,
right?
Like, and
Amanda Seyfried, I see.
Yeah, she is so good in it, though. Like,
yeah,
she's
very good
because she's doing something with her face, and like, not that she's unrecognizable, because you'll always recognize her with her giant eyes.
She's got a very recognizable face,
but like the way she has like her chin jutted out and like her cheeks are kind of sunken in this,
right?
And just the way I'm looking at pictures, she's like. I was saying to Faye, like, I watched her in Mank, and she is completely, like, the opposite. She's, like, I don't want to say a whole other person, because that's acting, but it was, like, again, almost unrecognizable. If she wasn't so recognizable as a person, you would almost not.
Interesting.
It's good. Like, the TV show is good. We're 3 episodes in, and... Yeah, it's an interesting... It's a great cast in it. It's interesting the way they're kind of... They're filling in a lot of the blanks, like, as a narrative show is wont to do.
Yeah.
They fill in the blanks of a documentary. But, like, you got William H. Macy in it, sporting a weird kind of giant bald head for some reason. Stephen Fry is in it, and he's great. It's great to see him, like, acting.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great to see him acting. And, like, as soon as he was on the show, I was like... Big smile on my face, like, oh, he's really cool. Yeah. Look at him there doing his thing. He's great.
Who doesn't love Stephen Fry?
Yeah, I know. We're fair was saying, it's like, that's going to be one when he passes away. I was like, oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Big
like,
time.
You know, I think everybody is
so
going to be like,
likeable.
Yeah. He's sporting a bit of a, you know, a scraggy beard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everyone looks better with a beard.
Yeah. I mean, I was. This leads into my next thing. My dad's 70th.
Yes.
It was on Friday. We were in the pub, and I hadn't seen a bunch of his friends in years, and then like they were showing up with beards, and I kept having to say to them, the beard looks great, it really suits you. And he's like, they're like, covers up the chin. I'm like, no, like it maybe, but it really fucking suits you. But it was just very interesting being in a pub.
Yeah.
Being able to stand around and chat and like that, you know. But it also like felt really like liberating. Who knows? I could have COVID right now and it hasn't kicked in yet. But I was just like, oh, this is great. Like, you know, and it's everybody was kind of normal again. Like,
it's so nice to get nights like that where it's some sort of like, just, I remember this. I remember life.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, having a good time and not feeling guilt about it or feeling, you know, whatever. Like,
not
even
being anxious about, like, he's not wearing a mask.
Yeah, or like, oh, like, even, like, there's even just, a little thing of, like, getting up and putting on your mask and going to the bathroom or something like that. Like, you're still, it's a little reminder of, you know, how fucked up. And, like, obviously, you know, for as long as we were wearing it, we should have been wearing it. But it's very nice to walk into a shop now. And like, I first walked into a shop this week and I had my mask on and I looked around and I was like, oh, I'm the only one wearing a mask in here.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Or, like, on the bus, I have, like, my mask on.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, half the bus has no mask on. And I'm like, that's okay. That's okay. Like, as where before, I'd be like, what the?
The fuck is going on? What's wrong with you, baby?
Where are your fucking mask?
If I was on public transport, I'd definitely wear it still.
Yeah.
But no, I've gone into shops now and not worn it. And it's very liberating, I have to say. And let me tell you, I don't get as cranky when it's time to do the weekly shop when I have to wear a mask or when I don't have to wear a mask. I'll say that.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Go on.
On average. On average, how much would you spend on a weekly shop? Am I putting you on the spot here?
No. It would be anything from 80 to 120.
Okay, Grant. I'm in the same boat. And I'm like, am I mental? Am I spending so much money?
No, it's gone mental. And like, and Aldi is our shop of choice. And it started that way because they were like cheaper. But like, they're not cheaper anymore.
We've switched to Dunnes now. And we've actually started getting it delivered from Dunnes. And they do a thing where it's like every 50 you spend, you get 10 off.
Yeah.
So if you spend 100, it costs you 80 quid.
Right.
So like, that's our incentive to do. And it's a good shop. And it kind of limits what you're...
I don't care for the staff in Dunnes.
Yeah, but you're dealing with a computer.
Okay.
And then it's just a delivery driver who's like, here you go. He's giving you stuff like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, you order the food. Oh. Yeah. How do you find the... I don't know if this is interesting to anyone, but how do you find the fruit and veg you get?
Better than Aldi.
But I mean, like, are they good? Are they firm? Are they ripe?
Yeah. Not okay, too good. Firm.
I don't know. I can't remember why we stopped doing it. We did used to do that, but I didn't care for their replacements. You know?
That kind of bugs me. I ordered a 6 Volvic Touch of Fruit still, and then they replaced it with like 6 lemon and lime sparkling water. They're still flowing around. I couldn't, you know.
That's unforgivable.
Yeah, I know. Like,
oh my God. What's an animal? It's packing that. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's liquid.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they wanted lemon and lime. So,
I know you've been a big Touch of Fruitsman since about 2007.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
It's too much for me now.
Touch of Fruit?
Yeah. Like, no. It was... like,
get the sugar-free one.
Okay.
It makes a big difference, honestly.
Okay.
And last but not least, I was at the farm today.
Hello. Which one?
Newbridge Farm.
Ah, Newbridge.
Yeah. It was great. It was a really nice morning.
Nice.
Got to go see some of the animals and all that good stuff. But yeah, it was... and Bonnie was obviously having the time of her life.
Kids just love animals.
I saw they have alpacas there now.
The hell?
Yeah. It was cool. A bunch of baby alpacas just in... like where they would have a pony or whatever.
I feel I have just as much fun on a farm as the kid does.
They had cockerels running around just out of their pens. Yeah. And like, that was really nice. They like, you go over to them, they wouldn't do anything. But then there was like this little boy who was like chasing them around the place. And I was like, this is going to end in tragedy. Like, something's going to happen.
Tragedy at a local farm in Dublin.
The young boy's eyes were pecked out.
Like, well, it's never happened before. Obviously, we're in a bit of a shock here.
It's like, normally the kids are kind of placid towards the animals. This little
one little fuck.
Blah, 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 blah. Pretty much was like Homer with the cows. Like, something spooked them real bad.
Oh, well, that seems nice. It was Sunday morning.
And it was a gorgeous morning.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was warm today.
Warm. 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 Mild? Yesterday. Yeah, it was got a bit chilly. Did get a bit chilly now by whatever, half 12 when we were leaving. But
yeah.
It was lovely, lovely. Excellent, way to spend Sunday morning even.
Well, listen, shall we get on into what we came here for?
Why don't we have a little listen? This is a new thing we're going to be doing, folks. Let's listen to the trailer for Bottle Rocket.
Preparation was good, you know. I think that's your specialty.
Thank you, because if I said that one, it would sound like bragging. Obviously good quickness.
Yeah, in and out pretty fast.
Real fast. Including the coin collection and the earrings.
You took the earrings, Dignan?
I bought the earrings for my mother on her birthday. Maybe we should have robbed your house. You ever think of that?
Three outstanding young men.
Well, come on, baby, and rock with me tonight.
Bob Mapplethorpe, potential getaway driver. Go.
I really want to be a part of this team. And I'm the only one with a car. That's good. That's good. Because that hits me right here.
I'm Anthony. You speak English?
It's amazing how close you can get to a girl when you're not allowed to talk to her.
And my name's Dignan, man.
You in the army, yes?
No, I just have short hair.
We are a team.
Dignan, relax. I can't focus unless the gun is on the table.
Well, you just paid for it.
Shut up.
Excuse me. Are the explosives really necessary?
That was, of course, the trailer for Bottle Rocket, 1996, written by Owen C. Wilson and Wes Anderson, directed by Wes
C.
Anderson.
Wilson.
I noticed that on the credits last night when I was watching.
That him trying to be more? I think this is before. Defined,
yeah, this
refined.
This is his first thing, really. Like, so,
he's gone full author mode. Okay.
When I was watching my Criterion Collection Blu-ray, my only Criterion Collection Blu-ray.
I don't know what that means.
I should have texted you to look it up. It's just like, it's a special edition Blu-ray. And the Criterion Collection.
Special? How it looks or the extra features?
Everything in it. Like, so it's a special cover and, you know, the features in it are different to the regular features and stuff like that.
Well, I made sure I downloaded the 1080p version, so I watched it in all its glory.
Yeah, I mean, while I was watching it on the Blu-ray, I was like, oof, the last time I watched it, it did not look this good.
Yeah.
You know? Can I get into a bit of buff?
Oh, please. Okay, budget.
Care to take a stab?
I'm going to say $1.5 million.
$5 million.
Jesus Christ, for your first movie.
Well, we'll get into that in terms of stuff. Box office?
And this isn't going to be some sort of...
I only have total. I don't have an opening weekend.
Okay, that's fine.
And I don't have a worldwide.
Unbelievable. Okay.
I don't think it was released worldwide. I think it was just a US release only.
And you're not going to tell me after, I guess, that it actually only opened in two theaters for two nights. Like,
no, didn't even give me that. Like, didn't even give me how many theaters it opened to.
I will say...
It's total. This is his box office total.
8.8 million.
What? Let me just go back to a little sneak peek behind the curtain here, folks. We were actually recording this episode second because we already got Rushmore in the can. But like, I think Rushmore only made like 5 million or 6 million or something like that. Like, so
yeah, but wasn't that some special was only in whatever?
No, total though. Remember?
Cause okay. Let me give you another answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what I was going to say. 1.5 million.
$560,069.
Stinker.
So,
how did he get another one after this?
Because it was critically loved.
You made a tenth of your budget back.
But it was critically loved, and if you lose 5 million, like there
was it?
Yeah. Wes Anderson met Owen Wilson in the University of Texas in a playwriting class.
Hey.
One day, Owen Wilson just walked up to him and started talking to him as if they'd known each other, despite having spoken a word to one another. He walked up to him, he's like, hey, what class are you taking next semester?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Hey, man. But like, he said like he would see him around or whatever, but he just walked up to him. He's like, what are you doing next semester? Like, It actually started off originally as a short film, which was completed in 1994. Anderson has stated that when shooting the short, it was like shooting installments of the feature. He's like, he always knew it was going to be a bigger piece.
Huh.
You know?
Okay. Interesting.
The actor Bob Musgrave, who played Bob, auditioned for his part, but it did not go so well. So much so that they auditioned another person for the role, but Bob stayed to watch the other person audition for his part. Anderson has stated, no, we shouldn't have done that. That's not really cool. Like, but Bob, having seen the other friend audition, was like, oh, can I go again? Can I try again? And nailed it.
All right,
so they were able to hire
him for this.
But having said that, Anderson has stated that most of the people in the film were not trained actors. The way he remarked was, if they can come close to being natural on camera, they were included in the film. So much I can't remember. Is it Kumar? It was the Indian man at the end. He was the owner of the local coffee shop that they hung around in.
So it's a real sort of clerk sort of job,
this
is it?
This was it. They kind of moved that over from the short film to the feature.
What did the $5 million go on?
The actor just making it look good, film-wise and stuff. Like, once the movie bombed at the box office, Owen Wilson seriously considered joining the Marines, convinced that acting had no future for him.
No way. And can I ask, was Owen Wilson's break into Hollywood through Wes Anderson movies? Like, through this and writing Rushmore and, I guess, kind being in Tenenbaums?
Tenenbaums didn't come till, 2001. Say he was in Cable Guy in 96. You know what I mean? Okay. And he's in Anaconda in 97. So, getting on screen, in the short, the Bottle Rocket short, kind of got him noticed, because that was a big hit. That was a big hit at Sundance. The short was a big hit at Sundance. And that's normally the way it goes. Like, if you make a short film and it's good, they will say, okay, make this a feature.
Right.
That's what happened with Whiplash. Say Whiplash was made as a short film, and then they like it so much, go, here's money to go make it as a feature. But
and then
this,
it tanks.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, even the feature of Bottle Rocket didn't get into Sundance 2 years later. So the short film got in, got rave reviews. They made the feature. It didn't get into Sundance. So
did you see the short film?
No, I've not seen the short film. So maybe watch that as a bonus at the end or something.
How long is a short film usually? Minutes?
It can be anywhere from 20 to 50 minutes. There's some films that would still be considered a short film at an hour, but more, I'd say between 20 and 50 was probably more.
Yeah, yeah.
The average. I'm trying to say, I have a very silly one here, but when Anthony shows Dignam his sketchbook, this is the first time on film that Owen Wilson says, wow.
that is worth a mention.
And then I just have that...
yes?
Owen Wilson had no plans to act in the film and just write it. But they found that it wasn't working without him in it.
I guess if their criteria is natural on camera.
But I don't know, you can see he's got it in this movie, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he act in the short?
He's in the short as well, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, you can kind of see a lot of the Anderson trademarks in it. I don't really want to, there's a load of facts on that. Time he uses Futura font.
The font. Now I'm sitting upright. You know I'm a big fontsman.
Anyway, why don't we get into the movie and we'll see what you thought about it.
Okay. I'm very interested to hear what you thought of it. I'll go first though.
Yes, I've asked you.
I thought it was okay.
Okay.
I thought it was okay. It was... I quite like movies at that pace, you know, about just two buddies and there's a lot of just sort of back and forth and stuff like that. It just wasn't enough It was just a bit flat for me. And it was probably intentionally flat. But I was just a bit like, I was just watching a movie happen, really. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't in it at all. I know Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson have, you know, like, there were certain lines that they deliver. I'm like, I know they would normally knock that line out of the park. But it's like, it's all so just...
It's their first movie. It's their first feature deadpan film that they're in.
I just got the impression it was a deliberate sort of, because it's a Wes Anderson trait of like deadpan dialogue and stuff like that. And like, I don't know, it just, I found it hard to sort of just get into it and get on board. I was kind of like, what's happening? Why are they here?
I mean, look, there is a lot of like, wait, what are they doing? Because they don't tell you, like, straight away, it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're going with the plan, the 75-year plan.
Yeah.
And then, but like, it's just very aimless. But like, that's kind of what I liked about it, is that like, it's just a bit of...
What did you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. I'd seen it before. I think I'd seen it twice before. Right. And I'd forgotten a lot of like what it is. I kind of...
What is it that you like about it? Like, what is it that makes it good
for
you?
I just like it. They're like a couple of goofs. It's very sweet. It's very like charming. It's not very plot heavy, which I do enjoy, you know.
Yeah,
it's just very breezy. Just kind of let it like wash over me. I was just like vibing with it, like, you know, these guys that are just, they're
hapless.
Yeah, they, you know, they're a couple of goofs, it's a shaggy dog story that like they go do something. They go rob a bookstore, and then they're on the run, quote unquote. I guarantee you, nobody's looking for them, and then they go back home, and you know.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah,
at no point was it like, we gotta find these guys.
Exactly. Like, there's no, it's not like Tommy Lee Jones is like, been brought
in. You know, it did give me some laughs, and I'm sure we'll get into it.
I think it's very funny.
It was funnier. Well, no, I was gonna say I think it's funnier than Rushmore, but you've already let that cat out of the bag that we've seen Rushmore. But what did you think?
I think Rushmore is funnier, but I think this is still very, very funny. Like, I think Rushmore is hilarious. There's so many bits in Rushmore that like, that it'll just make me chuckle or make me smile. Like, Rushmore has a bit more heart,
a bit more
and soul.
Solid. Like,
you know, like, and this one. Yeah, it's just a bit like...
I just didn't know...
It's a loose movie.
Yeah, it's very loose. And you don't really see movies like this anymore, which I kind of appreciated. It was a real, like, sort of from that era of those sort of movies. Again, it seemed like the sort of movie that you would just be flicking through and it would just be on. And you would just end up...
I think that might have been how I saw it the first time. Right. It was on Sky at, like, you know, 11 or 12 at night.
Yeah,
and I stayed up watching it.
Huh.
But yeah, like, I don't know, like, you know.
Well,
you want to get into your notes?
I was going to say, my first note is just, first of all, Luke Wilson looks amazing.
Faye said it to me, I think at the point where he's in the pool, when he first jumps into the pool in the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, God, Luke Wilson is so hot in this. And I was like, is he? Like, I was like, I was thinking, like, he looks great. But like, from a female perspective, I was like, what is it? She's like, he just looks real healthy.
He does
look healthy.
His face looks plump. You know what I mean? Like,
but
he doesn't look as gaunt like he did in like when he was like Casey Kelso.
No, but then when you see him at the end of that 70s show run, he's like, hey,
that's what I mean,
foreplay. And he's like,
did you forehead?
Like, big like bloated face on him. Like,
but in this one,
he looks like he is like... just finished playing college football or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like proper, like back, straight back, broad shoulders. And, you know, I mean, that's part of his whole thing, that he's fitness oriented, I guess.
Like, he looks, he looks more like a star than Owen Wilson does.
He looks more like a star.
That's what I mean. Yeah, but he looks more like it. But yeah, Owen Wilson's got a certain...
He's got that, like, charisma. It. Yeah, like, you know.
I tell you, it's great seeing them both acting together.
Yeah. And they're both in...
Are they brothers in this or are they friends?
They're friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they look like, identical and sound identical.
I mean, I don't know if you picked up on the third Wilson brother being in it.
No, who is he?
He's Future Man. He was played Bob's brother. That's Andrew Wilson.
Oh, right.
You didn't think he looked like the two of them or sounded just it. Like them? Like,
I didn't cop it at all.
It's like... yeah, he looks great. And like, I love that opening scene where like Owen Wilson's like, you know, shining the light. And then he's like, the doctor's like coming to see off Luke Wilson. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my friend downstairs, he doesn't know I'm here voluntarily. He's like, I just gotta, it's just one flight of stairs. And like, all right, do it quick. Like, we can't have this.
Yeah, and like at that stage, I was like, "All right, great!" Like, it was like, this seems like a fun sort of
a romp
start. Yeah, a romp. It's mad how like Luke Wilson had Owen Wilson's hair, and Owen Wilson had Luke Wilson's hair in this. Traditionally speaking, you know what I mean?
Do you think so?
It's weird that Luke Wilson was the long haired Lothario, and Owen Wilson was like the buzz cut. You know. You see, I feel like every time I've seen the other, I've seen them.
Yeah, I guess as he goes on, Owen Wilson does have that like wavy long hair, doesn't he? Like Yumi Dupree, Zoolander, like, you know.
That's kind of what I know him best with, is that sort of hair, you know. It's kind of long in Wedding Crashers as well.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of movies, though, in the 90s where he has that.
Oh, does he?
That haircut. Like, okay. You know, or... closer to that haircut, if it's not like the buzz cut, it's that it wouldn't probably be shorter than my hair, you know what I mean? Like,
also his nose looked straighter in this. Did he, like, what's the story with his nose? Was it broken?
You know what, I never asked.
I would have thought that would have been sort of common technical knowledge. Hang on a second. Okay, I'll just Google.
You gonna do it?
I'm just gonna Google it.
What
happened?
I did like, first of all, I love the score. Like, straight away, I'm like, ooh, you know, I feel like I need to have like a fruity drink in my hand when I listen to this score. And funnily enough, I have it on my drive.
He broke his nose twice.
When?
Both times before he entered into an acting career.
Oh.
One was as a teen in a fight in high school. The second time he injured his nose was as a result of a football injury. But it looked, sorry to interrupt you, but it looked straighter for some reason in this. I don't know why. Just thought I'd make that observation.
Anyway, Mark Mothersbaugh is hitting it out of the park. I we didn't talk about it on the Rushmore episode. I kind of regret not having it, but like, the score in this, more so in Rushmore, does a lot of the heavy lifting. Like,
it's like that sort of jaunty sort of...
In this one,
skip along sort of music and then they're walking somewhere.
And it, yes.
You know?
And then in Rushmore, kind of a lot of the emotional... Obviously, the needle drops in Rushmore are really good. But like, there's a couple of bits where it's just like whoever's theme in Rushmore. And I'm like, ooh, that's kind of making me...
Yeah,
all a quiver here now.
It's making me feel things.
My lip is going.
I don't like to feel these things.
I love it, Andy. I love to feel them.
I don't want to remember.
What's your next note?
The next one, I just have the robbery. Ha ha. That was my note.
Good.
No, I thought that was a good scene.
But even before that, he goes to meet his little sister. And then like, that's when you meet like Bob.
I thought that was a bit... of an odd choice.
Why?
I don't know. It seemed odd because he seemed so much older than the girl who's his sister. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of out of the blue. They didn't really seem like brother and sister when they were talking. I just thought, I don't know if that was a miscast or something to do with the, like, I don't know. I think that one just felt a bit.
It speaks more to his character. You know what I mean? Like that, like, he would just. Go off. You know, there's distance there because he's created a distance between her.
Right.
You know, like, and she's like, well, fuck you. Like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, she's, what, 10, he's 23, 24. Yeah, you know, it happens.
I suppose, he's still fairly young there.
Yeah, like...
It's mad, though. Luke Wilson, what he does have, and I think is quite needed in this, is he's got a very, like, you're always rooting for him, that face, those little worried eyebrows of his.
Because the scene after this one, before they do the robbery, is like, he's like, I think they're in fucking Bob's house.
Yeah.
And he's like getting real like, you can see why, or as if somebody who's just had, like, I would say a nervous breakdown, but like problem with his nerves, he's so like amped up from her being like, he's like, why, you know, what happens with like a little girl like that? Like, why would she say that? That I'm a pilot, you know? Yeah. It's still kind of funny, but I'm also like, he's given me like, oh yeah, this person is quite anxious, or he's, you know, yeah, quite nervous, for lack of a better
term. Yeah. He plays that character quite well.
I will say the Foley sound effects in this movie were quite, it's almost approaching Wet Hot American Summer. It's intentional in that movie, but it's unintentional this, where it's like a punch in the background. It's like, ping! You know, like, I think that just goes to show, in terms of what they're working with budget wise, that like, oh, we can't actually capture the sound
right properly. We have to just go for this.
We
stock.
Have to do it like ADR, you know?
Right.
Because there is a scene where it's like, oh, my ear, and, you know, like Bob, you know, and his brother, like,
that's something that like I never considered until I started working with like cameras and editing and stuff like that, of like
how much
every sound, it has to be either like replicated, recreated, like generally all the sounds, unless I'm mistaken, but like the impression I get now is that basically all the sounds in the movie aren't actually really taking place during that, unless it's obviously like, you know, something small, lifting a glass, putting it down or something like that, but like, because they need mics to capture everything.
Yeah, but they would, with that, Andy, they have the boom mic just above frame, like that's how they would capture most of that stuff. But yeah, I know what you mean, like the stuff,
like, yeah, I'm sure like there's way more than I would have considered, like, that is just
like the mics in that scene, say it's the pool scene, the camera cuts off just over their head, the boom mics are there, but
the mics,
you can't get
right,
there's no mics in the background that's going to pick up that punch properly, you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit, I'd say it's a bit different on a bigger budget movie, obviously.
Yeah,
like he said when I was doing my research for Rushmore, he said the first set that they ever built was Bill Murray's office, like, right. There's no sets in this, it's, you know, houses that they are renting or whatever. That's your set, like that's your that's on location as opposed to a set, like,
right.
So I know I think that's a bit harder to capture the sound properly.
Yeah, because it's not set up for filmmaking. Exactly. Really. I suppose on a set you've got like, you would assume there's a wall just out of frame, but like there isn't. There's like 20 people standing there, like somebody capturing there, everything. Yeah. Mike, like,
The robbery is very good because he's like, oh, I left my jumper. Have you lost and found? And then he lets him in. And then, like, Owen Wilson just tries to walk in. He's like, sorry, we're closed. Like, what about that guy? He just takes out the gun. Like, okay, get in.
At that point, I expected, like, Luke Wilson to be, like, you know,
freaking out, like.
Yeah, or to sort of go along with it. Or, like, at the start, I was like, are they both in on this? but, yeah, it was just so, like every time Owen Wilson was trying to do anything, like any criminal activity, it was just funny.
It is funny. You know, like, it's just hapless, like.
Yeah. Because he's still, like, even when he's telling your man to pack the money or whatever, and the guy's like,
don't. He's like, what did he say? Like, hurry up, or you idiot, or something. Like, don't call me an idiot, you little punk.
Yeah. And he's like, and then, like,
sir.
So that was good.
But, like, you even have that, like, I don't know, I always remember it's like the drums when they get in, it's like
dum 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 dum
dum dum dum. Oh yeah, okay. You know, you got a real feeling.
They don't really do that anymore, do they? Those sort of like bongo drums for a big.
There was a bit of it in Rushmore as well, where it's like, but it was like a slower, like dum when something bad was happening. Like,
yeah,
and I think in Royal Tenenbaums there's a bit more of the quicker drums again.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. Like I don't know many other filmmakers that use that kind of, like,
I feel like it feels like when I hear that I think of The Mask.
I was just gonna say The Mask. Yeah, yeah, like, you know?
Which also was, I think, 96, wasn't it? Or
95.
Was it?
That was 95. Yeah,
of course, Carey's big year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like that was real. So like all that sort of stuff, I like that sort of. This looked like a movie like that I would have liked back in the 90s.
You can see, you know what you're saying, like, how did he get to make another one? Like, you can see the filmmaking touches that are there. You're like, ooh, like, this guy has got
You can already tell, like, it's different.
Yeah.
And I don't always like, appreciate it as much as, like, Wes Anderson fans would. I kind of like them, you know, the less they are like that, in a way, like, of the ones that I've seen, the less Wes Anderson-y movies.
Interesting. It'll be interesting.
I've liked, so
it'll be interesting to see how he goes along, because, like this one would be considered, like, he's not fully formed yet. It's not completely Wes Anderson. So I'll be interested to see how you feel as it goes along. Like,
as he gets more Wes Anderson.
Yeah, do you like it or do you not like it? Because, like you're saying, if you like the Darjeeling Limited, then that's kind of like a fulcrum point.
I did like it. I wonder what I'm going to think now, though, because I was very young. It was like when it first came out, I remember seeing it. But I can't remember if I was just pretending like I liked it because it was in India and I liked Indian things. If I'm being honest, so I don't know, you know. My next note, and I don't know if I've skipped too far, but you know, I've been loosey goosey here.
I'll tell you.
When they're at the motel, on the run, and he's in the pool, like we were talking about, and he sees the maid. Like, it looked a bit harassy in 2022.
I didn't think that.
Did you not?
No, I didn't think that at all. Like,
because he's kind of walking with her. First of all, like, she's trying to clean his room and he's just standing in her way all the time. He has to move out of the way like a bunch of times. I was thinking, well, that's got to be really annoying, because at this point she's just trying to clean the room. And then she goes out into the thing and he's like right there, like, you know, more than shoulder to shoulder, like,
she
really close.
She doesn't seem uncomfortable at any time.
I thought she was. That was when I made the note. But then like 2 minutes later, she was like, oh, okay, she's into this.
For me, it was like she seemed confused more than anything. She's like, what is this guy doing? I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, she, obviously she gets it. It's like, oh, like, he, like, wants to spend time with me or whatever like that. There's a reason why this, like, puppy dog is following me around all day.
I'm sure people do, like, that does probably work, but I don't know if you would see that in a movie now, that style of picking up.
I don't know if you would see it in a movie now. I don't think there's anything sinister or untoward with it. Like, you know, his character... Hmm.
That's the thing, he's helped by having that trusting face.
But even the way he's written, the way he speaks, is that, like, he's pure. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
He's like, wow, he's enthusiastic. He sees this beautiful girl.
Yeah.
And, like, he's...
Inez.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, wow, like, wow, that's so great. Like, you do this, and he takes an interest in her and stuff. It never seems to be toxic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, within 2 minutes, I could see she's smiling. So I was like, okay, that's obviously
he's helping her and stuff like that. And, like, their hands are precariously close to touching when they're on the... Like, again, that's good filmmaking by Wes Anderson, where they have the hand on the cart and it's right beside each other and they're both comfortable.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, she's comfortable enough to, like, let him have his hand there.
But what about the scene where... Like, was this just like a joke or like that I just didn't pick up on? But when he sees like something falls out of her precious locket or something, and it's
he thinks
it's her, and then she's like, no, so he's like, funny. Can I keep it? And then she's like, oh, it's actually my sister, like a kid picture of my sister. She's like, can I keep it anyway? I was like, what?
Again, though, like, that to me is not, like, sinister. It's like he wants to keep this picture to remember this girl that he met. Like, okay. But it's just so weird that he's like,
why would he want this?
But that's what she's like. She's like, why would he want this? And then she's like going to take it back, and he's like moving it away, and then he moves it back towards her. And she's like, no, keep it. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I just thought it was really that was really funny. Like,
okay, because at this stage I was still like, because
he's a goof.
What's his deal here?
Goofs. They're all like kind of like simpletons, you know, but like
harmless goofs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the scene with like their guy. He's like, we're gonna go dye our hair because we're on the lam.
Oh yeah.
I thought I was really good. And you're like, can't do it. Like, nah. It's like, not possible. I know, it's just something about the way Luke Wilson delivers lines.
He delivers his lines. It's just funny. I don't know why.
We've been saying this is the theme of the last few weeks.
It's undeniable, though. I don't know what he's got. Like, it's just that, whether it's the accent, his delivery, his face. He always kind of seems like he doesn't have time for this right now. Like, that's his kind of default, it seems.
You get the kind of thing that, like, he's just going along with this to, like, you know, make Dignam feel good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, they rob his mom's house. It's the first actual heist.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, stamp collection, earrings. And then, like, he gets pissed off. He's like, yeah, I told you, because you signed it saying things I'm not supposed to steal. He's like, why? Yeah. And then I love how Owen Wilson's able to flip that on him when he's like, why don't we steal from your house? And he's like, just, like, stops dead and, like, gets, like, real pouty. And he's like, you know, there's nothing worth stealing in my house. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes it okay then, like, you getting offended by this, like.
I will say that I know we talked briefly about the score, but great use of that love song.
When they're having sex.
I will be alone again. That's regarded as one of the best albums of all time, you know.
What?
Love, that album that's from.
Wow.
I mean, I listened to it. I didn't
love
care for it as
funny
much.
Band, aren't they, like?
Yeah, there was a bunch of different sort of styles in there. There was the band members were from all different parts of the world, I think. There was like a very multicultural band or something.
The one like I know that. Most would be like from High Fidelity. Always See Your Face. Somebody tell me.
Can't remember that one, actually.
No, it's good. It's good.
But yeah, great use in this one as he's running along. I was like, oh, now we're talking. It's mad the difference a needle drop can do.
And I thought it was quite an interesting thing to do, where it's like she can't speak any English. And yet, like, he's still
infatuated with it.
Yeah, determined and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, and I love, like, okay, Bob goes because his brother gets arrested.
Can I talk to you about Bob?
Yeah. We need to talk about Bob.
What's his deal?
What do you mean? As the actor or like...
I just didn't know what to make of him. I'm like, should I care more about Bob? Is he just a peripheral character?
Yeah, he is.
Should I kind of disregard everything to do with him? Like, does he have a big part to play in this plot? Like, he's just kind of there, and then he's not there, and then he's there.
He's the third wheel of the three. Like, it's Owen and Luke, and then by association, Bob. I think, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I didn't care, like. Like, the big fallout is between Dignam and Anthony. Like, it's not between Dignam and Bob. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what you care about.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. Because I wasn't sure if that was just me being like, am I supposed to care about this prick?
I don't think I would be. Like, he is... If you're going to say it's a trio, like, he's very much... Like, it's telling that, like, he's the last one that they rope into the big score at the end.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they wrote him in, like, you know? So when he, like, takes the car and goes home and leaves them stranded there, like, Owen Wilson is pissed off, and then they go to the bar.
I will say, before they go to a bar, I did laugh at the line where, like, Owen Wilson wanted to break in and steal someone's car, and he's like, it's not happening. And he's like, then we're going to have to hotwire a car, and this idea I won't back down on. I did laugh at that.
It's so good. Like,
he's just like a big baby.
Yeah. This one, I won't back. It's real. You see, like, shades of, like, Wedding Crashers energy there. Like, you know? Like,
very much.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like, I love you, but we're doing this. Yeah. You know, that's sort of my...
Come on, Peter Pan.
Here's my question. What's James Caan doing in this movie?
Well... Interesting.
It is James Caan, right?
It is James Caan, yeah. Right. Sonny Corleone himself. Apparently he just got out of rehab. Like,
he needed a job.
It was kind of like a way to get himself back out there and working with this up-and-coming, you know, this guy that had been a bit of a hit a few years earlier in Sundance.
He was great.
So when we get, I can't wait to get to him. I don't want to get to him yet though, because
okay.
I love the scene because it's like, he's like, he just needs to have a drink. Like he's saying to Inez, because kind of Dignam kind of walks off ahead of them. And then literally the next scene, he's like, he's just at the urinal, like big smile on his face. And then some guy's like, hey, you in the army? He's like, no, I just have short hair.
It's funny because he did look like someone from the army. It's funny that he considered joining the army,
Marines. After.
You know, the Marines.
And like even the scene outside where it's, you know, Anthony and Inez, and then somebody else comes up speaking Spanish, and like Owen Wilson is like playing pool in the background. I'm like, it's like something out of The Naked Gun, you know, like this, like, or like Hot Shots or something.
Oh yeah,
like,
you see just, something, a fight breaking out.
Hey, like, you can't put them in with your hand. It's like, oh, and again that like that phony punch sound, like.
I didn't actually even pick up on the sound effects on it. Maybe I just had the volume.
There, like,
yeah, I didn't pick up on that at all. And I love stuff like that.
Again, it's not intentional. It's like something going on in the background. That, like, what we need to put, that punch didn't come across. Like, so then it kind of, he like Anthony wants Inez to come with him, and she, like, he has to have like Rock. Is it Rocky?
Oh yeah, the translator.
Yeah, you know, it's like that was an interesting dynamic because, again, it speaks to like Luke Wilson's state of mind of this person who's like, by his own admission, he said like he was with his ex-girlfriend, and like he just was like, and then I just was like, I don't want to be around. Not like, what? She asked me a question like, what water sports do I prefer? And I realized, not only did I not want to answer that question, I didn't want to see any of these people again. Like, next day I was in the nut house in Arizona, and like literally he says it by his own admission this time. He's like walking down the hallway and he's like, I was in a daze. I didn't know what to do. And then it hit me like, you should come with us and all this. Like, it's this person who is not in.
What got him in the nut house?
That he just left. He checked himself in. Like he,
right, okay.
He said it was for exhaustion, and like his sister's like, "You never worked a day in your life."
Yeah.
So like it's like it speaks to his character's frame of mind, where he's like, not always making the best decisions.
Yeah.
And
he's a goof.
Yeah, he's a goof. And then you get one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Or I just love the. The Proclaimers song.
I was thinking, was that the Proclaimers?
Oh, yeah.
It sounded
so,
like.
Oh, and that's on my running playlist. It's like, when that kicks in, like, this is a story of our first teacher.
Yeah, it was good.
It's over and done with. It's over and done with. But, like, I love how he's, like, trying to, like, break into the car to hotwire it. And it's like, doesn't get anywhere close to it.
But, yeah.
Like, he's like, hey, look, I found this thing, though. Like, this junker. This piece of crap.
Which junks out.
Yeah, 1 minute she's flying like a top. Next minute, we're on the side of the road.
Absolutely, yeah. That scene where they're on the side of the road and he's like, I gave her the money.
Yeah.
I was just watching it. I was like, that is unacceptable. That is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. It's not great by Luke Wilson. But when I love it, he's like, you don't give the housekeeper $500, and then like Luke Wilson like is squaring up to him, like, hey, it, like, I'm, she is a housekeeper, you know, like you go from like this tough talking man in charge to like, oh shit,
like hey, don't hit me.
I realize Luke Wilson is bigger and stronger than me. Like, I'm going to back down.
Listen, speaking of big and strong, let's talk about my man James Caan on this
Mr. Henry,
the bloody like the tooth necklace thing that he's wearing the whole time.
He's like, try the door, like, water, like,
James Caan, why does James Caan look so terrifying?
Is that terrifying, like, no, it's not just you, like,
what is that? Even when he's starting on that guy in the restaurant and all, and like he's up looking up to him, like, cause this guy is like some big tank, and he's like,
I'm gonna laugh and laugh. And like twisting his arm.
Yeah. Does he know karate? Because it looks
really, now. He's like, got the eye.
It looked like he did.
Like when they're doing that.
Yeah.
Got the eye. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Let me just give it a quick old.
Do it, Terry.
I don't know if you ever see him on Twitter, do you?
I do. I follow him. He's very good.
He's dedicated to the study of Gusoku Ryu Karate, a 6-degree black belt. He's trained for 44 years with karate legend Takayuki Kubota. Kubota is founder and president of International Karate Association and inventor of the Kubotan Keychain.
So, yeah, he knows karate.
Wow, there's some great fucking pictures of him doing shit here, like...
Let me have a look. Wow. Sorry, folks.
Look at this.
We'll be back in a second.
Wow.
James Khan Karate.
That was great looking when he was doing it in the movie.
Because I'm thinking he really does look like he knows what he's doing here.
But even that there where he has his hand like twisted, I'm like, oh, that does look like it would really hurt actually. Like, yeah. He's like applying like a load of pressure on it. Like my favorite bit with James Khan was when they're in Bob's house. He's like, "Welcome, Bob. You got a beautiful home." He's like playing on the piano, like,
yeah.
And then just cuts away, like.
Right, I'm gonna stop looking at pictures of James Caan now.
It's pretty good. This is the whole second part of the movie where, you know, like Luke Wilson is writing a letter to his sister, telling her what he's been up to, and like he is. This is what like speaks to. He's like, I have a routine now. You know, trying to keep himself occupied.
Am I wrong? Could they have just cut out the whole sister stuff?
There's only two scenes. But like,
unnecessary.
That serves as a good function to be like, this is what I've been doing the last 6 weeks. Me and Bob have been working. Yeah, exactly. Me and Bob have been working to pay off his brother's legal bills because Bob got his brother arrested for the weed farm in his back garden. Like that's what it works. I think it's good screenwriting, but like then it comes like Dignam is putting together a heist, you know, with the lawn wranglers, you know, and that's what the second part of our movie is, and he's trying to get Luke Wilson in the main thing. He shows up on the little mini bike.
Very Dumb and Dumber vibes off that.
Yeah,
I will say that, like, I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead, but like when he realizes Owen Wilson thinks that the translator says he loves tell him I love him, and like when he finally tells Luke Wilson,
there's a line reading here. It's like I liked Inez, she was great, and like Kid Rocky was a little weird. Like he said he loved you, and he's like, what? He's like,
yeah. Was he translating?
Yeah. And he's like, when he said he loved you, was he translating? He's like, no, he said he loved you. I don't know why. It always tickles me. No, he said he loved you.
And then
he's like, he said he loved you.
And then I liked the scene like where he's calling her up then, yeah, and he's all like.
Now, did you notice, Andy, at the party, what music was playing in the background?
No.
Well, it was only our old Patreon music.
What?
You know, old one when I was
doing... Our old Patreon?
Yeah, the old Patreon, you know, live from...
Oh, is that what that was from?
The track underneath is from the Bottle Rocket soundtrack.
Ah, it's from the scene
where he's dialing Inez and the party is going on and stuff like.
Did you get it from Bottle Rocket or is it a popular song outside of the movie?
No, I got it from Bottle Rocket. I knew looking at my Bottle Rocket because I knew Mark Mothersbaugh has good scores.
I tell you, one of the first proper Wes Anderson looking things in this was there was a scene right after that where he's on the phone to her and then it cuts to like Luke Wilson in like the yellow jumpsuit on that platform.
Yeah.
And it's like a grey sky but the yellow's popping and like his skin is kind of like shadowed out or something. Like looked very contrasty, like, you know, like you would see in his future movies. So I did have a little thing of like, oh, that shot looks good.
And the whole thing with like the Hinkley cold storage like is so ridiculous. And I love the like reveal at the end of like, well, Owen Wilson is doing his heist and it's going terribly. And he said, but they're, like, they're taking it so seriously. Like, James Caan is just, like, robbing everything out of Bob's house, like, completely, like...
But that whole, like, sort of big finale thing, right? Unless there's more you want to cover. But the whole thing, like, the biggest laugh I got in the whole movie was... your man Kumar, he's freaking out, and he's like, and they're looking for everyone, and he's like, why are you here and all this? And he's like, what are you doing in the freezer, Kumar? He's like, I don't know, I lose touch, man. I get out of here.
No excuse. They did such a good job with him, because, like, obviously he's not an actor, and he was in Rushmore as well. Like, he was,
oh, right.
He was like the Mr. Tiny Jeans. You know, he was just like around the school all the time, and he's in Royal Tenenbaums. I think he's only in those three,
right?
But the first scene, he was like, I use my fingers, like when they're at lunch in the country club.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you do safes? And he's like, yeah, man. And then, like, at when you see him when they first go in, he was like, who's that guy? And he's like, what? That's Applejack. Come on, man. He's like, he's putting in, like, the seeds, and he just looks really confused for the whole time. Yeah. I was like, I picked up on it this time more. I was like, wow, that's really good, like, in terms of how, like, well they lay the groundwork for it, you know?
I didn't pick up on a lot of these things, to be honest, that you're talking about there. You got a baby monitor to your side there, too?
Sorry. I just, you know.
Here we go, folks. Hold on tight. Well, look, I have one more note. I don't know if you have many.
No, just I like the use of Rolling Stones.
Yeah, very good song.
2000
Man. Very good song. Is that what it was? Very good song.
Oh, daddy.
And I tell you, subtitles. Here's another thing subtitles are great for, is a lot of the time they'll just tell you the name of the song that's playing.
Not on the Criterion disc.
With the lyrics.
They give you the lyrics. Thank you very much. Yeah. They give you the lyrics. They didn't tell me by whoever.
But, yeah, like...
Basically, Owen Wilson gets caught, everybody else gets away, and, like you said...
Seems to really enjoy going to prison. He wanted that time away.
I loved
himself.
I thought it was really funny, I don't know why, it was like just the unnecessary, like, punches to the stomach. Like, yeah. When he's in the cold storage, and it's like, like when he gets caught, like... Yeah. And then the guys go visit him in prison, and...
He was very happy.
Like, in one of the interviews I read, somebody asked Wes Anderson the question of, like, oh, is Mr. Henry like Hollywood? You know, you go to Hollywood and you learn, you kind of get eaten up and spit out. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. You could see it that way. It seems like they all get what they want from their experience with Mr. Henry. Like, nobody's really pissed off at the end.
Yeah,
you know, it's just true. like Owen Wilson seems like, he's like, well, yeah, I got no hard feelings.
Yeah,
you know,
because he did make a point earlier in the movie of being like, I'd love to check myself in or whatever.
Yeah,
take it, like, easy, you know, like, so it seemed like he had a bit of peace there. He didn't have to worry about anything really. Just gets told what to do and what to eat and that sort of stuff.
Do you not think that your old pal Dignam would like to go and do that with you? Like,
but it was, you know what, it was decent.
It's not my favorite, but it's definitely not my least favorite. I just think it's like a lovely breezy little watch. Like, no, I don't know, this is before I'm doing the whole rewatch, which is, so I guess I'll know as we go
so
along.
So since this is our first podcast of the series, I guess this is going to be top for both of us.
Yeah, what are you going to give it?
I'll give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Okay.
So it was all right.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
Good.
That's fair.
You know, close to 4 stars. 3.75.
Did you review it on Letterboxd?
Not yet.
Is that like what's your system for Letterboxd? Do you review it as soon as it's finished? Is that like the routine?
If I rate it... Say if it's a non-podcast movie, I'll rate it on Letterboxd. Yeah, as soon as I think of it. But if it's, say, one that we've reviewed, I'll wait until we've done the review on the pod and then do it on Letterboxd. I don't want to be giving the game away. I'm sure nobody is watching my Letterboxd.
People are watching your Letterboxd very closely.
Is, but
no spoilers.
You know?
A decent start to this to the franchise.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're like I was anticipating maybe you being like, what is this? You know, like, what are we watching here?
It's hard not
to like this movie though, really. Like, isn't it?
It was light enough that it wasn't like very if they were trying. Because if they were trying to give me something and I wasn't buying it, then that's different. But they weren't really trying to give me anything, so you know, I couldn't get too offended.
A bit of a road trip type movie, yeah. And then you know, they kind of switch genres a little bit.
Well,
towards the end.
Can I get my plugs? Is there anywhere I can plug in around here, Terry?
Plug it in, baby. Dun, dun, dun.
What's that? Who's that?
Basement Jacks featuring JC Chazet. Oh,
for God's sake. Oh, God. The featuring. Knowing the feature as well.
Yeah, well,
JC Chazet.
It was his big thing post NSYNC. This is his big hit, I think, post NSYNC.
JC. Is that his name?
JC Chazet.
I don't think it's Chazé. Is it Chavez?
I don't know. Let's give it a... Hold on.
Hang on.
Chazé.
Chaz. Oh, okay. I think you're right, actually. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Still looks pretty much like an action figure.
He looks great.
Does he? His face looks fake.
He looks fine.
His face looks fake.
You can find us on Twitter at WSGApod. You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Podcast. I tell you, Terry, I'm changing up the stuff that we're posting a bit here because I'm getting a little sick and tired of the the last few things that I've clips that I've put together. Even though it doesn't actually look like it, it takes me freaking forever to put them together, and it's just. I mean, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm just venting here. But, I mean, it gets, like, what? You and maybe two others like it every time. And I'm just like, why do I bother?
Is it on Twitter?
Both of them. I don't even bother with Twitter anymore. I used to just be like, well, Instagram loves us. And I know this is so not cool to talk about on mic. But, so, I don't know.
Putting our listeners on blast.
Yeah. But listen, folks, it doesn't matter about the likes,
the views, Andy, the views.
It doesn't. And to be honest, I think it's probably good if we're ever looking to attract a guest onto the pod. They can very quickly see what we're all about.
Yeah.
So it serves a purpose anyway. Yeah.
And you know what?
I'm sorry, folks, I'm sorry. I don't mean to have a go with you.
There might just be a few of those coming down the old pipeline.
I'll never tell. Oh, what are we like? Yeah, well, on Instagram you can find links to the latest episode, to Patreon freebies, and the Patreon itself.
Oh, the Patreon. Now, we've recently changed to our two-tier system, where it's a pay-what-you-like system, where literally you can pay a euro, whatever, and you get access to our weekly episodes, 4 a month, one per week. Made a balls of that. If you're paying on that tier, you're known as a hungry heart. Where you're paying the $5 tier, if you're already on it, thank you so much. You get the exact same thing plus some merch. You know,
do you mind if I interject here? Because the difference between the two is now the hungry hearts, the pay whatever you want, they don't get the early access released, they get it. The big shots get it as soon as it's edited, it's uploaded, you just get it straight away, and you get free merch on that one as well.
And we'll probably think of something else. Might try is in a bonus something once a month as well. How about that?
Excuse me.
We haven't discussed this. I'm just saying we're going to do it.
Surprise me in rehearsal, Terry. Don't surprise me with my live on air.
You get four per month, one per week episodes, and they can range from a bunch of top fives that we're doing. We've done a bunch of bespoke playlist that we made for each other. Andy made me an emo playlist. I made him a hair metal playlist. I made him one from movies. He made me one from... what else did you
rap?
Do me? Oh, yeah. The new rap, yeah.
I'm something of an authority on current hip-hop, folks, so yeah. It was nice to school him, as we say currently in this decade.
Didn't really care for it. But then you have access to all our back catalogue of our What's So Great About miniseries, our Marvel, our 90s action, our Ryan Gosling, and our Big Willy's flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's bad movies. Yeah, so that's there. But if you can't afford to pay whatever you like or the $5, well, you can do something else for me. Now, Andy, in this movie,
yeah,
they talk about a grand piano costing $10,000. Now, I don't want a 10,000 star review. I only want a 5,000 star review. How about you take that 5,000, divide it by 1,000, and give me a 5-star review?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Fuck it, come on.
You want some?
Excellent, Terry. Good to see that it's been continued through this franchise.
Yep. Good. I mean, I'm stuck with it, am I?
Yep, that's your thing.
So 5-star review on any of your podcatchers that you use, Apple Podcast, Spotify, whatever, really helps grow the podcast. Tag us on social media if you'd like. You know, that would help out the podcast. Tell a friend. That also helps out the podcast.
Like a post.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You can see how desperate Andy is. It'll make his day. Look at his little face.
I'm sorry. Again, I don't mean to have a go at you, lad. It's not your fault.
I mean, you guys can't see it here, but it's great when he smiles. You know? I know.
It happens so rarely.
Yeah, I know. But look, once it really makes my day as well. Like,
yay.
And
there he is.
If you made it this far, you're doing the Lord's work. And Andy?
I...
Say it.
I love you.
There you go. There it is.
I want to change this.
Of course, you get the big L.
Why
from
are we
me.
Falling into this? Why is this
a thing?
The
big L from me behind the paywall. Why is this a thing? I have to come up with a fucking bit for a 5-star review.
Do
every
you?
Episode.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Who edits it? Who puts the clips together? Huh? Who guards the Patreon?
Yeah.
This guy.
You're the producer. Right, I'm the creative. We talked about this.
Listen, our 50-50 split, I'm going to have to talk to you about that. I think 80-20 is only fair.
I will take my Wes Anderson idea and move it to a new podcast.
Why don't you take it to Blank Check? I'm sure they'll love it.
And for some reason, they won't do Wes Anderson. They're more esoteric in their choices.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, on
Plus,
that
not returning my calls.
Look, on that note, folks, thanks very much for joining us. Next week,
we are doing Rushmore. Mm-hmm. May or may not have a third person sitting in with us. That's all I'll say.
Tune in next week to find out, folks. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
This is a story of our first teacher. Shepherd made the jumpers and the devil made the features. Threw up her hands when my mum said her name.
That's right.
And voided all the stories with slanderous things. But
it's over and done with.
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 It's over. It's over.
It's over and done with.
Let me hear you. Let me hear you.
This is a story of losing my virginity. Oh. I held my breath and the bear held its trinity. People are making no claims to no mystery. Sometimes I feel that like my sex life's
lost. It's over and done with. It's over and done with.
It's over and done with.
It's over and done with.
It's over and done with.
It's over. It's over.
It's over and done with.
Yeah.
Popular,
but I don't feel like lying.
No, no.
When I think of it now, I act.
acted like a sinner. I just washed my hands and I went for my dinner.
You washed your hands and you walked off.
Yeah.
So and done well.
It's over and done well.
So and done well.
It's over and done well.
So and done well.
It's over and done well.